mentioned to you this morning that the Holy Spirit was talking to me about the mind of Christ. And the mind of the Anointed One was totally different than the mind of the flesh. So we will be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'd like to give you a little bit of a heads up that God, in his ways of doing things, is so different than the natural mind. I remember a season in my life where I would kind of look forward to what God was doing, and I was having a hard time because I would try to go with the old way of thinking, but then the Lord would kind of prompt me and use different individuals, such as he did today, with a word for me. And the word was always very capable of changing me to go with what God was thinking about me rather than what I was thinking about myself. Okay? See, God sees us perfected. He sees us with his mind already in us. He sees us completed in Christ. We see ourselves with our flaws, and of course, then we also see all of the accusations that come against us. In the thought life, always. In the thought life, your mind is constantly in a barrage of, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you're a hopeless case, give up, throw it away now because nobody really ever loved you, etc., etc., etc. I could go on and on and on. Now, the mind of Christ is totally the opposite. The mind of Christ says, I love you in spite of all your hurts, in spite of all your pain. And even if you decide to give up on life, I haven't given up on you. So, I'd like to take you to the Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And St. Paul is saying something that's quite astounding. Because, first of all, he was trained by the best of his day. And he says, in verse 1, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear. Now, how do you like that? The man who writes the better part of the New Testament and the letters to the church is saying, I came to you with what?
Fear.
Fear and what?
Weakness.
So he wasn't all excited about who he was. He was saying, I came to you in weakness. Now, how many of you can confess you have a few weaknesses? Thank you. So you can relate to Paul, right? After all, he wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Romans, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote letters to all the churches. He came to each one of them in what? Weakness and fear. So what's your excuse? If you have a few weaknesses and few fears, are you going to lay down and die and listen to what the enemy has said? Or your thought patterns about yourself? Ah, see, that's a decision you make. You can either go with the flow of who you are and the hopelessness of who you are and believe the lie that you shouldn't even bother living anymore. Now, none of you guys have ever done that, but I have. Okay? So, verse 2 again, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. See, when I stand at this pulpit, I am not relying on what I've learned. Because if I do that, then I'll be honest with you, you probably would give me some acclaim. Because I have learned a lot of stuff. But that learning is absolutely useless when you've got somebody falling apart and they need to be loved and they need to be hugged. And maybe they've only had a little tiny hope left in them because of all the pain of their life. But when you simply give out what you have in abundance, which is an ability to choose to love someone right where they're at, just like Jesus did. When the kids were brought to him, the disciples took the kids away. Don't bother the master. And what does he say? Hey, I want the kids. There goes your mind of Christ. Don't bother the master. That's the brain of the flesh. Amen? The mind and the man of God who is thinking, oh my goodness, we're the chosen disciples. Here we are, all 12 of us. We're so smart. We'll protect Jesus from the kids. Well, I should have heard a couple of amens. Amen. How many know you can bruise a kid when you keep him away from the Lord? Yeah. And he says, let them come. They are the ones that have more love for me than you do. You know why? Because they're not using their cotton-picking wise brains.
They're innocent.
They're innocent, yes. He also says, come to me as children, trusting in all things. And what do? I'm going to figure it all out. Then I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, have fun. I tried it my way. And what did I find? Hopelessness, despair, self-rejection. Not part of God's plan at all. So the demonstration of God's Holy Spirit's power is what you and I need. Verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Among the mature. Are you mature yet? Well, let's say I'm more mature than I was yesterday. That's probably the only qualification I have. It doesn't matter on age. I've seen people that have come to the Lord and were with the Lord just a few months and a few years and were much wiser than some that had many age numbers on them. You know why? Because maturity is not something that comes with a number. It comes by the Spirit of the Father. Then he says, but not the wisdom of this age, or are the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Who are the rulers of this age? Well, you've got a bunch of negative forces that are operating around you, and they're pushing you around, and if you listen to them, you're going to have the wisdom of this age. Verse 7 says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. So this was a whole setup. A setup by God to release his wisdom in the end time. I was sharing with those who came early about spending some time last Friday night listening to three different men. One whom I know personally. The other two I did not know. And they were talking about the end of the age as we know it. And they pointed out that 2012 was a number that even the Incas thought was important. And they said, well, one of the reasons why that we need to focus on God's calendar is because the Incas and their way of doing things would come to an end in 2012. Ain't a bad thing. I can tell you that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into the flesh and was born into the earth, it changed the age. Why do we call it 2011? Because it was a new age. It was the end of the old and a beginning of a new. Yeah. Are you ready for 2012 to begin a new age and a new time in God? Are you ready to stop thinking with this box that you have on top of your shoulders? I call it a box because you can put whatever you want in the box. You can put God's opinion or your own. If you put God's opinion up there, you're going to be quite happy about who you are in Christ. And the mind of Christ will begin to focus on the new things that God has prepared for you and I. But if you put the world's wisdom in there, which, by the way, you can grab the TV set and start putting all the news of the world in there, and you'll be so frustrated you won't even probably want to get up in the morning. And they'll tell you, my God, there's no jobs out there. Oh, yeah, really? Why can't God use you to start business? Why? I was 22 years old, and I had a vision in my heart. And I asked my friends and my family to pray, because I thought it was absolutely outrageous. God told me to talk to my dad, and we bought a furniture business. At 22 years old, that dream came. So what's your excuse? How did I provide for those that worked for me? By trusting him. Even though the little bit I had of him, I trusted him. You say, where are you coming from? I gave and I knew what to do with what I had. In this box. God's not expecting you to use somebody else's box. He's got his spirit within you, and he can make you dream dreams and do things that no one has ever done before.
Amen.
That's what's coming in 2012. Are you ready to get your mental blocks out of the way and put his inside? Get God's opinion. Stop hiding. Stop trying to put your head under the couch and say, oh my God, it's hopeless. No, it's not. You've got the living Jesus inside of you. And if you haven't, you need him. And if you've been running, stop running. That's all I can say is, you have the one inside of you that can transform you. And yes, you might be angry because he didn't do it your way. Good heavens! If he did it my way, we'd all be in trouble. I wouldn't be here right now. I would not be here. I would be out there running. Chances are I wouldn't be living. Because I had already planned my own suicide. So don't give me the crap that you're hopeless. I was hopeless. I had two alcoholic parents who wanted to commit everything that they could. And God transformed them. He set them free. And they had many years of freedom. But I'll tell you, during those 17 years, it wasn't easy. Did I want to continue? Absolutely not. Did I have the mind of Christ? I had the little bit that I knew. They were just little seeds growing. You say, well, why? Why? Why should I continue? Because the same Jesus who picked them up and who picked me up can pick you up. He's not a different Jesus. He can demonstrate his power within you and change what you think about yourself and about those around you. Verse 7 again, though we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and what God destined for our glory before time began. So, it's been sitting in the background of heaven. And if you don't tap into it, it's your own fault. If you don't ask him for wisdom, you ain't going to get it. If you don't ask, you don't what?
Receive.
Thank you. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Ha ha! If none of the rulers of this age understood it then, it's 2,000 years and they're still trying to do it their way. And it's not working. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However,
as it is written, no ear has seen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Try it on for size. Say, God has revealed it to me by his Spirit. I did not write the book. Thank God. He wrote the book. For who? For you. He wrote the book for you to change your mind about who you are and who they are, whoever happens to be they. Because every one of you has somebody that you're picking on. Oh, if they were different, I'd be free. Well, good grief, maybe they're an irritation because you need it. That's right. I remember going to the Lord and saying, if I had a different wife, I would be perfect. Oh, man, I would be just what God needs. And you know what? He says, I put her there where she is to perfect you. How do you polish a diamond? Come on. How do you polish a diamond?
Cool.
Rub. Some people are your irritation for you to change. And unless you do change, it's not going to change for you. They're not your irritation. They are a blessing. When I finally got my act together and said, God, I thank you for the woman that you gave me just the way she is, guess what? The garbage started to leave my brain. He started to clean me up. And as soon as I stopped finding fault, Romans 2 says, if you want to see your own sin, look at how critical you are. And you'll see your own identity. You'll see your own sin. And you need to ask God to help you. That's it. He is not going to change you until you ask. He's not going to give you his wisdom while you've got all your own opinions. Oh, I should have heard an amen. Your own opinion are what? From the flesh, from the world, from how other people think. What did I just tell you? If you put that in your box, you're going to have what? Depression, hopelessness, anger, resentment, bitterness, and roots of bitterness. Tell me how well you're going to do with roots of bitterness. You're going to go through Christmas and you're going to say, oh, I wish it didn't happen. I just wish it didn't happen. It's another year where everything is falling apart. I disagree with you. Another year has come and hopefully you're growing up and you're maturing. Hopefully you are going to grow up and take on his mind and ask for his wisdom, not your own.
Amen. Amen. And I receive that.
Not your own. It's not going to work. I'm going to skip down because I believe you've got a pretty good load right there. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What a confession. What a confession. You say, well, I don't have it. Well, good grief, if you start declaring it, guess what? He'll put some seeds in there. Amen?
Amen.
He'll put some seeds in there. If you put some seeds in the ground in the spring, you'll get a harvest. If you put your seeds in your box, you get what?
Nothing.
Nothing. You got to put it in the ground. In case you forgot, you're made out of dust. And with the Holy Ghost, some seeds will grow. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll have a harvest.
Amen.
Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I need grace.
Lord Jesus, I need
to do it your way.
To do it your way.
Let my opinion
pass right out.
I don't need it anymore.
I need
God's opinion of me.
And God's opinion of those you love.
And those that I'm having a hard time with. Whether they be bosses,
executives,
governments,
wife and family.
Husband and family.
All of these you've placed in my life for me to grow up. And I'm choosing to mature for your glory, Lord. Give me your mind. Give me your way of thinking. And a hunger for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And amen. That's all she wrote.